I hear common problems that lead to the improv solo of students sounding extremely flat. Now, here are the top four issues that happens with your improvisation when it starts to sound flat. Number one, overplaying. So if I go ahead and put this on, this is essentially what students sound like when they're overplaying. So just a small demonstration there. Number two, what I hear is playing in one register. And here's what that sounds like. Get the picture there. Number three is going to be just a random bunch of notes, just like random notes. This kind of relates to number one, but here's what that's going to sound like. So forth, it's just a bunch of different notes. You really don't get any structure in there. And then finally, sounding like scales. And a lot of what I've done already is actually sounding like scales, but this can be taken to the extreme. And I hear students do this a lot. And this is what that sounds like. So again, what I'm going to show you today is actually how to fix these most common problems with really, really easy solutions that will kind of just instantly solve this if you do find yourself doing this and really carry you over into the next level of your improvisation.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School podcast. My name is Brendan Lowe, and if you've ever felt stuck trying to learn jazz piano from a million different sources, this show is definitely for you. Each week, I break things down step by step to help you play with more freedom, more confidence, and a whole lot more swing. Everything I share here ties back to the system that I created and that we use inside the Jazz Piano School membership. So if you're ready for more structure and progress, I'll tell you how to check that out at the end of this episode. And hey, if you're enjoying this kind of real-world guidance, make sure to hit follow or subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 373. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Apparently, I promote too much. I speak my thoughts too much, and I guess this isn't great for popularity. And though, although I do think that the information is great, and I don't know. I thought that's what a podcast was for. I guess an informational podcast isn't really for speaking your mind, right? I need a chatty podcast, right? People come on here to learn jazz piano, but I don't know. I thought people would want to hear the behind the scenes, the creator, but I don't know. Apparently not. So I'm going to be changing some things. If I do want to start more of a talking kind of casual, like, you know, speaking type of podcast, I think that would happen, but I probably won't. But anyway, here are some of the changes that you're going to find going forward is that I'm going to introduce issues in people's playing, and then I'm going to help you fix them. Very straightforward, clear cut, dry. I'm going to give you a couple updates, a couple links to free information, free content, a couple of different ways you can kind of get involved, but that's it. I'm really trying to actually get to 100,000 subscribers on YouTube. They send out an award for that. I'd really like to get to that. So if you want to help me out, you can go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool. Subscribe. Please subscribe. It's about subscribers. You have to get to 100,000 subscribers. So I'd really appreciate that. But again, for the audio podcast, I am going to be changing things up. Today's going to be the start of it. This isn't the new format. This is me overspeaking again. But I did want to just take a second to deliver this type of information to my followers and my fans out there who might, you know, move on to the next episode and be like, whoa, this is different, you know? And I truly believe you'll probably like it a lot more. And I love listening to feedback. I have pretty thick skin. Might be the Boston in me. I don't know. I take things with a growth mindset. So like feedback is great for me. It really doesn't like hurt my feelings or anything like that. I just like am inspired to get better. And I want to help you more. My main goal is not about me. So again, I think that's what helps me too, is I'm driven to help you. It's not about my ego. It's not about like that kind of thing. So I really love listening to feedback. I love changing things up and making it better. Like I love optimizing. I love systems. I love optimization and I love efficiency. And again, from the standpoint I'm talking about, I don't believe my podcast has been as efficient, as optimal as it could have been or can be in the future. Same with my YouTube channel. So that's going to change. That's changing. And I'm again with a goal of collecting more subscribers because I want that YouTube award. Vain, I don't know, maybe, but I would really feel accomplished if I got to the 100,000 subscribers on YouTube and got that little award that they sent. I think that'd be really cool. Right now I have 43,000 subscribers. So if you want to help me out, go subscribe. I'd really appreciate it. If you like the podcast and the changes coming up, you can leave a great review. I used to have a perfect 5-star review rating, and now I don't, unfortunately. So it's 4.8. I'd love to get it back up to 5.0. Perfect. I think that'd be really cool. And again, the feedback I've gotten is that, again, someone was like, too much promotion. I get it. I agree with you. I agree. So moving forward in the next upcoming podcast, you're really not going to hear any of this, which is going to be interesting. I'm really just going to talk about jazz piano, the issues that I see with students, and then how to fix them. So with that being said, real quick, the free roadmap I give out, it's like an ebook. Go pick it up. It'll transform your path. It'll organize your playing. It'll tell you what components you need for your goals. And I'm constantly teaching this over and over and over again to students. And even a student this morning wrote into us and was like, I really want to get into funk. He's a member. What course should I go do next? And so again, I'm like, okay, you want to play funk. Always, when you all have a goal, always ask yourself, do I want to improvise in a funk style? Do I want to play solo piano in a funk style? Do I want to comp in a funk style? Whatever you want to do, always break it down into those three goals because they're such drastic different categories. Now, the funk style improvisation, there's two major differences between jazz and funk improv. And it's not the notes. These are bonus tips you're getting before the podcast. It's not the notes, bonus education. It's the groove that's mainly derived from the bass player and the drummer, by the way, in funk. Like funk is driven by the bass player and the drummer, not the keyboard player, right? The keyboard player is there for harmonic, to support harmonically, not really rhythmically, although they can add rhythmically. If you don't have that killer bass, the killer drummer, the funk isn't going to funk, right? You really need that, okay? But the keyboard player really is there for harmonics. So if you're improvising, I play a lot of blues licks, but they're straightened out, and it's also on a Rhodes or an electric piano. So just those two components alone, you don't have to learn a lot of new stuff. Change your sound to an electric piano and play straight lines, meaning you're not swinging your lines anymore. So you see how easy it is to actually accomplish your goals when you have a direct goal, and that's what that roadmap does. So that's why I wrote back to that student. Hey, do you want to play improv? I'm assuming he wanted to improvise in a funk style. If he wants to comp in a funk style, I still use a lot of the same voicings, but again, they're straightened out and they have a Rhodes sound. Okay, instrumentation in sounds and music really matters a lot. If you use a piano sound in funk, that's going to sound a little weird. You need that electric sound. Jazzpianoschool.com/roadmap. Also, again, I'm going heavy here on promotion before I change things up. but my enrollment to my new programs are open now. And the classes are going to start September 2nd. If you're interested, please write in to support at jazzpianoschool.com. You can also check out the link by going to jazzpianoschool.com/live program discount. jazzpianoschool.com/live program discount. That's going to give you discounts on the program. Now, my VIP coaching tier is sold out. Okay, that's sold out. All the spots. All right. I was only taking 5 students for that. My mastermind and my accelerator tiers are still open. So you can go enroll for that. You can ask me questions. I'll meet with you if you even want. And this is to really take your playing to a new level. I mean, these are high level committed classes. If you want to dive in deeper, the accelerator is a 3-month commitment, the mastermind is a 9-month commitment. If you really want to take your playing to the next level and break through the barriers you've probably been experiencing for 2, 5, even 10 years, this is the way to do it. I've seen so much growth from my previous students. Anyway, that's it, everyone. Thank you for listening. Goodbye. Just kidding. All right. So, why do your solos sound flat? Let's talk about this. So again, next episode, I'm essentially just going to start here. Drop a couple links. I'll start here. Why do your solos sound flat? Number one, what I hear commonly from all students, even in very advanced players, like they're playing so much great stuff, but I still hear these things. Could be a theoretical standpoint, but you're overplaying. Number one, I hear so much overplaying. There's no space. It's like when you have a conversation with someone and they're constantly talking and you don't say a word. You might say one sentence over the course of 30 minutes, right? There's no space in there and you're just completely overplaying. You need space. You need way more space than you think you do, right? Not just every 8 bars, right? Every bar, every 2 bars, every 4 bars. So how do we do that? How does that look? I'm going to show you that in this podcast today. I'm going to give you some amazing exercises to fix that immediately. Number 2, why do your solos sound flat? You're mainly staying in one register. I hear students only improvise within 1 octave, even within a 1/5 sometimes. Like they literally don't play more than a 1/5, in between a 1/5 on the piano. You have 88 notes. You have 88 notes. Please, please use all 88 textures, sounds, emotions, feelings in your solo, right? The more you can break out of that one register habit, I promise you this is going to drastically change how you sound. It's going to improve your solo and gain more depth in your solo as well. I'll show you how to fix that in great exercises. One feeling thoughts you can actually use to get out of that. Number 3, just random notes. Right? This is similar to overplaying, but it's a little bit different because I hear students leave space, check, but they're still playing a bunch of random stuff. So there's a big difference there. Space, yes, they are leaving space, but they're still playing random stuff. So how do we change the random stuff? Because random stuff tends to make your solo sound flat as well. Okay, I'm going to show you how to change that, fix that very fast. And then finally, as a little bonus, students come to me and I hear this, their improv sounds like scales. I mainly have students asking me, how do I turn scales into improv? How do I turn scales into improv? I get it. I'm going to fix that too. I'm going to tell you what you need for that. And that's a very, very easy fix as well. So when you focus on all 4 of these common issues, your solo is going to absolutely transform overnight, I promise you. And the exercises I'm going to give you in just a second are so easy. They're so fixable. You can literally do them today, okay? And I'll show you all those exercises in just a second.
All right, so the overplaying issue, this happens a lot. A lot of times it's because of nerves, but how do we fix this? It's really, really simple. Space. Space. Just add space into your playing. And here's a great exercise for you where I'm going to add space every 2 bars. I'm actually going to purposefully add space every 2 bars. So after the first 2 bars there, I'm just not going to play. I'm going to finish my phrase and then not play. Here's what it sounds like. Three, 4, space, 2, I'll do it again. 2, 3, 4, space, 2, and again. 2, 3, 4, space, 2, 3, 4. Three, 4, So just purposefully adding space is really, really important. I highly encourage you to mess around with the number of bars that you leave. So I was just doing 2 bars there. Let's try it out with 4 bars. So I'm going to play for 4 bars, and then I'm actually going to leave 4 bars of space. This is going to give you time to think and digest what you just played. Maybe you want to change something, but fantastic exercise for growth. Here's what that sounds like. I'm listening, I'm feeling the groove, kind of like thinking about what I just played. Space, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, space, 2, 3. Utilizing 4 bars of space really allows me to collect my thoughts, breathe, take time, settle my nerves. It's an absolutely fantastic way to really help just get over the anxiety of feeling like you have to play all the time. Highly recommend you do this. And then also try 1 bar at a time. That's a great exercise as well. Let's move on to number 2. Number 2, I hear this so many times, playing in 1 register. Now, when I played up here in the high register, I'm sure you got bored really fast. I know I did, okay? Now, a fantastic exercise to just really get over this is try to play over 3 octaves. Try to purposefully always play over at least 3 octaves, and this will break you out of this habit so fast. Check it out. I'm gonna start down here. I'm still going up. I'm still going up. Maybe I'm coming down. Coming down. Going up. I finish down maybe here, I jump up. It doesn't matter. Play over the entire piano. You should. I mean, you have all the notes laid out there for you. There's no reason, absolutely no reason, to stay in your improv solo in 1 register, right? That's going to really be like watching paint dry. It's really the fastest way to kind of flatten out your solo and really just get rid of all depth and, you know, just interesting stuff in your solo. So that's number 2. Try that exercise. See how you do with that. Number 3, just playing a bunch of notes, letting your hand kind of do what I call the Addams Family thing, where it's just kind of, it's just going, you're not really thinking about any sort of development, any ideas. So what you want to do here to fix this is think about motifs, and more specifically, repetitive patterns, small repetitive ideas. This is going to transform and develop your solo overnight. I promise you, just repeat ideas. It's literally that simple. Check it out. So if I just think about taking an idea, whether it's rhythmic or melodic, and repeating it, it's going to sound good. It literally cannot not sound good. Okay, here we go. Just repeating. Now I'll take a new idea. I'm just arpeggiating. Random notes, but the same rhythm. This is a rhythmic motif. Da 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 da. Dee dee dee. Maybe I'll change it here. So on and so forth. all I'm doing is repeating ideas. And now once I get to about 8 bars, maybe 16, you can even go for a full chorus. Experiment with the amount of time you're utilizing repetitions. This automatically sounds good. This automatically is the path. It's like the secret sauce to creating development and beautiful arc within your solo. Now, you can expand upon this. Obviously, once you've kind of, you know, done your repetition thing, you can add in more notes, more textures, but this is how you start. This will instantly make your solo sound better. It's really the easiest thing you could ever do. And as a little bonus, like a lot of students, like I said, in number four, they say their improv sound like scales, and a lot of times students practice scales. We just play up and down scales, whatever scales you're using here. I was using a bunch of different scales. If you're using different types of Lydian or altered over the G, you could just be using mixed Lydian here. I was using a bunch of different scales, so don't pay attention to the notes. But what I want you to really understand is that you have to utilize a combination of what I was just teaching you, right, with the motifs and repetitions kind of involved in, combined with scales. So really make bebop especially. If you want to play bebop, you need a combination of steps and skips. If you have too many steps, which are scales, it's going to sound like scales. If you have too many skips, If you have too many skips, it's going to sound all disjointed, okay? So I'm going to call out what I'm doing here so you can actually hear this. Okay, there's one component I didn't tell you, but I'm going to tell you that in a second. Here's all scales. This is all steps. Right? So you can clearly hear that I'm not making any skips. Every note I play is connected by a half step or whole step, up or down. Those are all steps. That's going to sound like scales. So to balance this out in your improv that you hear constantly done by the pros all the time, naturally, they're always doing a combination of steps, what I was just doing, plus skips. So we need skips, and there's certain skip patterns you can add in. Arpeggiations of the chord in your rootless voicings or root position voicings. For your dominant chord, again, root position, 3-5-7-9 if you want. And for your majors, same thing. Your minors actually have a lot. So when we get to like the F minor 7, for example, you have your F minor 7, 3-5-7-9, 5-7-9-11, 7-9-11-13. We have more skip patterns for those minor chords. But here's what it sounds like with all skips, okay? This is all skips. So it doesn't take a genius to hear that this is pretty broken and segmented, right? Even a person who really doesn't have much musical, doesn't listen to music much or even is involved in music would be like, oh, something sounds a little off here, right? It's because of the balance. So when we balance skips with steps, we start to get and shape beautiful professional improv that you hear on the album. There's one more component I'm going to tell you about in just a second, but here's what this sounds like. Skips. Steps. Skips, steps, skips, steps, skips, excuse me, skips, steps, skips, steps, steps, skips, skips, steps, skips, right? So sorry, it's really hard to play and call them out at the same time, but you could hear the difference. Go back and watch it. I was combining steps and skips almost every single bar. I'd have a skip pattern, then a step pattern, a skip pattern, and a step pattern, right? You have to have this balance. I did throw in the last component, what I'm going to tell you here, for really, really solid professional sounding bebop improv, and that's your bebop approaches, your bebop enclosures, obviously. Once you get this balance between skips and steps, when you add in your bebop approach notes, here's what it sounds like. You get that full, true professional bebop sound. okay? And I started to kind of get more advanced. I was trying to keep it really simple in the beginning. And then as I started to drift into the second chorus, I did add in some more different types of rhythms, some more bebop approach notes, things like that. But clearly, you're hearing a balance between skips and steps now with the added addition of bebop approaches. So you really need all three of those things to really let your improv shine. And again, at that point, it's still very easy for students to continue to overplay, to continue to play a bunch of random bebop patterns, right? And also stay in one register. So just the mere fact, the pure fact of just adding those three components in, yes, you're going to be sounding like bebop, but you need to make music out of it, right? You need to do everything else I talked about it. Here's what a combination of all of that sounds like. Repetition here. Right? Different repeating patterns. Space. Repetition, right? Register. Bunch more things I'm not really adding in. I'm not doing any of my left hand just yet, any sorts of slides or textures, but just focusing on those four elements that really flatten out solos so quickly. I promise you, your solos are going to have more depth, more intrigue, more mystery, more arc, more development. And again, you're going to sound like a professional really, really fast just by focusing on those four simple components. Hope you guys enjoyed that, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope today's episode helped bring you some clarity or even inspiration for your playing. If you want a clear path to move forward based on your personal jazz goals, I put together a free resource called the Jazz Piano School Flowchart. It maps out the three most common goals jazz pianists pursue: how to play in a band, comping, solo piano, and improvisation. And it shows you exactly what to work on to get there. You can grab it now for free by going to jazzpianoschool.com/flowchart, or just click the link in the show notes. I'll catch you in the next episode, and as always, happy practicing.